from Hezekiah Walker and the Love Fellowship Choir, Joseph Jube, Naima Penniman, Reverend Dr. Dion P. Bossier, Mahogany Brown, the Ebony Ecumenical Ensemble, Forces of Nature, Dance Theater, and Sweet Honey and the Rock, and many more. That's the Juneteenth celebration, All-American Freedom Day, reimagining togetherness, broadcasting from Carnegie Hall, Sunday, June 19th, starting at 7 p.m., heard here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Stay tuned for Ecologic here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. It's 2:30 p.m.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gillert.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for June 17th, 2022.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we continue our discussion with Alexis Goldsmith, Beyond Plastics National Organizing Director.
In part one on May 13th, we talked about nurdles and why most plastic can't be recycled.
Welcome back, Alexis. Please introduce yourself.
Yes. So my name is Alexis Goldsmith, and I'm the organizing director with Beyond Plastics. We're a national nonprofit based out of Bennington College, and our project is to end plastic pollution. We're really effective. We do this work directly. And if you want to follow us, go to beyondplastics.org/contact. Or you can email me. My email is alexisgoldsmith@bennington.edu.
And Bennington is in Vermont.
Yes, Bennington, Vermont. But we work all over the country. We're
burning, burning neighborhood.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I don't eat a lot of takeout or fast food, but even so, I've got this couple of handfuls of utensils that just come with everything. And can't we get them to make that an opt-in instead of an opt-out?
Yeah, there are bills. It's called Skip the Stuff. New York City tried to pass it last year. Unfortunately, the mayor didn't sign it, even though it passed the city council at the last moment. But yeah, we need Skip the Stuff bills. It just makes sense. Most people don't even, some people need the silverware or the cutlery, don't get me wrong, but a lot of people don't want it or need it.
If you're taking it home to your kitchen, you got plenty, right?
Sure, sure.
And the person who's taking your order can, just like they ask you if you want a soda with your food, they can ask you if you want your utensils.
It can be difficult because, when we do Chinese takeout, we ask them to not give us plastic utensils. And they say thank you. But the person who puts the stuff in the bag is not the person who took the order. Do you have any bill numbers for the Beyond Plastics bills or Skip the Stuff bills?
Well, the Plastic Pellet-Free Waters Act is Senate Bill 1507. The Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act is H.R. 2238. And it has a bill in the Senate. It's Senate Bill 984.
What are the climate aspects of having so much plastic being made and used?
Well, Beyond Plastics actually just put out a report on this late last year in October. It's called Plastics and Climate Change, or it's called The New Coal, Plastics and Climate Change. And it looked at the life cycle of plastics in the United States and their contribution to climate change. And what we found was that plastics in the United States contributes the same amount of emissions as 116 coal-fired power plants. Now, the EPA has done a lot to close coal-fired power plants in the United States, but that work could be undone if we continue to expand plastics, because we're on track for plastics to exceed coal-fired power emissions by 2030, and that's why we need to stop making so much plastic. I mean, we need to stop extracting fossil fuels from the ground, period, but we need to stop making plastics. So to answer your question, yes, they are a big contributor to climate change.
Is it because of the methane that they use? And are there a lot of leaks coming out of these plastic manufacturing plants?
Yes, there's methane leaks, especially during the extraction of the fracked gases. But the ethane crackers and the plastic factories themselves use a lot of energy to produce plastics. Now, plastics manufacturers recently have been touting things like carbon capture to capture the emissions from these facilities so that they're technically not emitting greenhouse gases. But you can't just look at the emissions from the facility itself. You have to look at the whole supply chain of plastics and the whole, I don't like to say life cycle because it's plastic. I like to say death cycle, the death cycle of plastics. You can't capture all of those emissions. We're not even tracking all of those emissions. We don't know what all those emissions are. And the carbon capture technology is very, very expensive and just not even feasible. It's really just a delay tactic.
And then you have to put the carbon somewhere.
Yeah, where would you put them if you capture?
That's a great question. I've heard of piping it underground, and that's the only one I've heard of.
I remember fighting the PureGen coal plant in Linden, New Jersey, probably a decade. Yeah, it was around 2012. They were going to pipe it out under the Atlantic Ocean, like 7 miles out to sea and whatever. Crazy.
Right. Just more pipelines for fossil fuel infrastructure. So anyway, we're demystifying plastic, right? Most people think of it as they see it, it's part of their lives for a few minutes, but they don't really know where it comes from, right? And so once you pull back that beautiful Coke ad with like the butterflies and the green grass, and you realize that, oh, this actually has physical infrastructure, and this infrastructure lives somewhere and it affects some people's lives and it comes out of the ground and it comes from somewhere, then we can know, okay, now what do we do about it? We stop the extraction, we stop the production, especially of single-use plastics.
Yeah. New Jersey did pass another good ban. Plastic straws are only given out on request these days.
That's great.
Yeah,
it's opt in instead of opt out.
Right. And there are people who have, issues physical issues and they need the plastic straw, and that's fine. If you need a plastic or metal straw, you can have one. But for the rest of us, paper works, or just drink out of the darn cup.
And New Jersey also has a polystyrene bin, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's new too, I believe. Yeah.
I want to know what to do with the plastic straws I already had in my house before I learned not to use plastic straws. What the heck do I do with them? I don't want to throw them out because they're going to have a problem. What?
Crafts? Find something creative to make out of them?
I've got a lot of stuff to make crafts out of. I was trying to figure that out the other day. Like, oh my God.
I remember reading an article decades ago from the guy who founded McDonald's, where his philosophy was to put the straws where anybody could get them, because it would become the kids' job to get the straws for the family, and that made kids want to go to McDonald's more, because they had this thing that they could do.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He said it cost them a lot of money, but it got them a lot of business, and that attitude of using straws and throwing them out and using more straws than you need. You know, kid will grab a big handful to give it to, four family members. It's there's a culture involved in this.
Yeah, and yet there's also something nice about wanting to get kids involved in the process. So it's a trade-off, and I come down on the anti-plastic side, of course, but I do appreciate...
There's a lot of things kids could do for the family besides putting plastic in the ocean.
it's all about follow the money. I must say that I'm proud of the fact that these days young people are very conscious of the environment and what legacy we're leaving for them. So we're getting more and more kids that are teaching their parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not enough maybe, but more.
Alexis, you mentioned the Skip the Stuff bill that was in the city council that the mayor did not sign. Do you know whether it has been reintroduced? Because as a New York City radio station, I think we have some listeners who'd want to get that bill.
Yeah,
it's Skip the Stuff bill.
If it's the same bill number as last year, it's 1775. They don't always get to keep the bill number. The pesticide bill changes bill number. I mean, some bills change numbers and some don't.
Yeah, New Jersey has a two-year legislative session. So if it doesn't make it through in the 2 years, it gets a new bill number in the new legislative session if it's reintroduced. I don't know how it works in the city council. I was on a creative blog, and they're big on design and so forth. And apparently Burger King in the UK is offering reusable containers for burgers and drinks that, you pay a deposit and you drop it off and they wash it and reuse it, which is the first one of those I've seen from a major entity.
Starbucks has been doing that for a long time.
Yeah. While they're still plastic, at least that limits the proliferation. You get to reuse them a few more times before they're tossed.
I would just say, if you haven't seen the film, The Story of Plastic, it's very cheap to find it. Watch that film because it will answer a lot of your questions and it's very eye-opening. And no matter what you can do, no matter how small it is, it really is important because we don't need everyone doing zero waste perfectly. We need millions of people doing zero waste imperfectly. And that quote is by Anne Marie Bono.
Yeah, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you can't do something.
And that's the other thing the corporations like to pretend, if you can't do everything, then don't bother trying.
Right.
Yeah. If you can't get all your electricity of your entire state with solar, then don't put up any solar panels at all.
And the other thing they do is try and push it all on personal choice and not try and avoid any policy decisions.
Mm-hmm. But yes, the corporations love to blame us. For example, Coke was to say recycle your Coke bottles, but they produce 200,000 plastic bottles a minute. So
wow.
It's not our fault.
That awful lot to try and recycle.
Yeah, New Jersey, you need a bottle bill next. You're on New Jersey's
sure.
On a roll.
We had one such a long time ago and it's gone and yes, we definitely need that back.
A few years ago now, my cousin was doing some sales of commodities, and they were actually selling gigantic bales of soda bottles, and there were people buying that commodity. And I they were talking about making rugs out of them or lawns for people's homes that don't want real grass, you know. So there actually is a way to commodify plastic. Maybe that's 6% that makes it to the recycling. Is there a way to, because like I said, she was actually selling bales of plastic.
There is a small market for recycled plastics, and that market will increase as laws require post-consumer recycled content. But I think the main takeaway is that plastics recycling is not the solution to the plastics waste issue, and it's definitely not an excuse to keep making more virgin plastics.
I don't think we can say that enough.
Could you give us a few examples of things that we're used to seeing made of plastic and what the solutions are to using something else?
Well, polystyrene egg cartons. So you can make newsprint or paper, natural fiber egg cartons. And I actually got this from my local co-op, and there was a note inside. So these are local, but it says, "Thanks for choosing our eggs. We think Happy Hens lay the best eggs and hope you agree. We're happy to reuse this carton if you return it to the co-op." So this is natural fiber and reuse and refill. Now, it's a small scale, but we can definitely scale this up. And I do a project with Meals on Wheels program. So Meals on Wheels delivers millions of meals to seniors every year. And most of them are using these disposable, single-use plastic trays that don't get recycled. Even though they're advertised as recycled, they don't get recycled. And you can replace those with, now these are also made of plastic, but they're very sturdy and reusable trays. And these last for years, decades even. And not only do they cut down on the waste, they save Meals on Wheels programs a lot of money. I've got another example.
Are there lids for those?
Yeah. Yes.
You just had one.
Yeah, it had a lid right here. They have bowls too, reusable bowls. Now, I love tomatoes, and I love growing my own tomatoes, but I live in the north, northeast, and we have very short growing seasons here. So I often buy them from the store, and you can replace the plastic containers that the tomatoes come in. It's just newsprint, pressed, recycled paper, and you can recycle this over and over again, or you can compost it. So we have the solutions we need, and that's reuse and refill, and natural materials, and just generally supporting local economies whenever you can, buying your food locally, if you can. I mean, it requires some amount of privilege, of course, to be able to do that, but we can also implement policies that support that in an equitable way.
You mentioned, and I'd like to point out that all the solutions you gave us do not require deforestation. It's not like we're saying, you know, stop fossil fuel, but get rid of all the forests. That, you know, there's all these, you know, one, they're reusable, and two, they're made from recycled materials. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not a single tree had to die in order to make the solutions that you were just talking about. And that's very, very important.
And you mentioned shampoo bars, which I recently bought one. So not only am I not using plastic that limits the transport of water, which is a heavy thing to move around for liquid shampoo, same with, you know, dry detergents. And I've just, you know, a mom's recently opened here, so I've got some, I can buy some bulk buying in their paper bags or, you know, even a plastic container that I reuse, you know, so it's.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have the solutions. It's just.
Well, another great reuse is when you go to a restaurant and you're going to take some of the food home, bring your own containers.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, bothering the waiter or waitress to get you a container that the restaurant has to pay for, and then you just throw it out, or you have a ton of them at home because you don't want to throw them out, bring your own container. And you will find the response you get from the waiters and waitresses is wonderful, because you're saving them work and you're saving them a hassle, and then you're saving the restaurant money. They will really like that. And some of your friends may go, but they'll give you one for free. And
but why do I need it?
Interesting is you have several meals with those people, and all of a sudden they're bringing reusable containers.
Yeah, and you can do that with coffee cups too. If you like to get your coffee to go, take your own coffee thermos.
Yeah, I carry my travel mug, my spork, and sometimes a cloth napkin.
Mm-hmm.
Planning ahead.
I like that we talked about individual choices and what we want the politicians to make the corporations do.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't get into this mess just with individual choices. So we have to get out of it with more than individual choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot to do.
Well, thank you so much, Alexis. This has been really
good. Thank you. Yes, contact your representatives and ask them to support policies that reduce plastics, like the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act or the Plastic Pellet Free Waters Act.
Sure. You had fun, Alexis.
I did. This was a treat. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. It was lovely to meet all of you.
Same here.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
As usual, the time flies by and we need to wrap it up, but thanks for joining us. You can find more information at www.beyondplastics.org. That's beyondplastics.org.
Join us next week on Friday, June 24th, to hear about how hurricanes work from meteorologist Tom Weitzmuller.
Grow NYC is again accepting collection of textiles, shoes, accessories, and linens. So if you are holding on to old clothes, not wanting to throw them in a landfill, you can now take them to select green markets. There's more info at www.ecoradio.org.
We have information on a variety of environmental topics, such as microplastics found in Antarctica and a giant sinkhole in China with an ancient ecosystem intact. To listen to this show or any of our past shows again, it's all at www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list on our website, www.ecoradio.org. Those of you on social media, search for Eco-Logic.
Mainstream media is filled with ads for plastic products. With single-use plastics, we have to keep buying more and more profit for the corporations. And then petrochemical companies burn it. More poison power. WBAI does not accept ads or donations from such corporations, which is part of the reason that you'll hear us asking for your support so often. We need you for Eco-Logic and WBAI to exist.
Eco-Logic and WBAI continue to offer you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs. Like everyone, the station has rent to pay. As an employer, has a shoestring payroll to meet. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
You're used to us sending you to givetowbai.org, but most of our premiums have been moved to their own webpage, ecologic.wbai.org. To choose from our wide variety of premiums on topics from nuclear disarmament to celebrations of nature, go to ecologic.wbai.org. Leave out the www and donate. Pledging now during this show really helps Eco-Logic especially.
Right now we are focusing on the tower rent. The transmitter tower broadcasts our signal so that you hear us. Keep us going. We need to raise thousands of dollars each month for tower rent, office rent, and call center expenses so that you can get your premiums.
The transmitter tower costs $17,000 every month. Office rent is $5,300 a month, and the call center is also a big expense. We owe them $30,000. That's a lot for one person, but together we can do this.
This is your opportunity to help WBAI in a real and direct way. Please support Eco-Logic's efforts for the transmitter tower fund drive. This is how we would sound if we didn't have a transmitter. Let's keep this recovery going. go to WBAI.org and click on the box with the transmitter tower drawings.
Like so many producers here at WBAI, we are volunteers and work hard every week to bring you new information and guests who are on the front lines of many environmental issues.
Thanks to our much appreciated engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Friday, 2:30 p.m., June 24th, for the Hurricane Show.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
hi, this is Randy Cretico, host of Live on the Fly, Assange Countdown to Freedom, on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Join me and a whole bunch of other comedians and performers and musicians and the father and the brother of Julian Assange, 7:30 p.m. Saturday, the 18th of June, at the beautiful Theater 80, St. Mark's. Stand-ups for Assange. This is a critical moment, folks. Will Assange be extradited or not? We're getting close to that. BAI listeners get a discount. So call this number, 917-415-2829, and hopefully we'll see you at Theater 80, St. Mark's, on that Saturday, 7:30 p.m., the 18th of June.
This is Julian Assange. Stay strong and keep listening.
And this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. The previous program was Ecologic, heard Fridays at 2:30 p.m. Coming up next will be Live on the Fly with Randy Cretico. He has some guests, and it's going to be a very special program that I will guarantee you want to listen to. A lot of information, valuable information, will be shared during the next 60 minutes or so. And it's one of the reasons why you need to continue to support this radio station. That station I'm talking about is WBAI New York 99.5 FM. So, for the past couple of days, I've been telling the listening audience that somehow management is allowing me to talk on the air on behalf of convincing y'all, the listening audience out there, to pledge to this radio station, and mentioning some of the details that some other producers don't usually mention, not because they're trying to hide information, is because they were told the information verbatim from management. Well, and Bertolt Reimers, who happens to be the general manager of this radio station, have said to me that he wants me to talk so much where his ears will bleed. Well, I said to Bertolt, be careful what you wish for, because I'm more than capable of doing that, and I will. Okay, as you know, WBAI has a campaign, the Tower Fund campaign. We're attempting to raise funds to make sure that the transmitter, the rent of the transmitter, maintains to be paid so we can continue on doing what we have been doing for 62 years. We're 2 months behind the rent, okay? Now, that's what you usually hear from other producers, that we're 2 months behind the rent for WBAI's transmitter. What you usually don't hear is that we're 3 months behind the rent here at 388 Atlantic Avenue, okay? So we're 3 months behind here at 388 Atlantic Avenue, 2 months behind here over at the transmitter at Four Times Square, and we need your help. Now, in the past, I usually get frowned upon because sharing this information somehow will make, well, the thinking was to make the listeners feel bad. And I have always disagreed with that because the listeners are adults. They know what the situation with WBAI is. They know how valuable WBAI is. You tell them the information and then they do what they need to do so we can get out of that situation. Everyone in here are adults. And I'm going to talk to you.